And if you will, notice with me one verse for the thought of our study. Luke 15 and verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I don't know how many sermons I've preached from the book of Luke in the 15th chapter, but I'm never ashamed to go back and to preach again from that great teaching of Jesus. And this morning, I want us to put this tender scene before us in the book of Luke in the 15th chapter, and notice especially in verse 20 the statement where the father ran. And I want us to get that in our mind this morning, where the son is coming home from being in the far country, and to get a picture of the father running to greet him. It was shameful in that culture. It was considered shameful for a man to run. But notice at this time, the father doesn't care. He is running toward his wayward son. And what an exciting picture we have before us. And we should get a hold of and try to examine through the eyes of those involved that day and time when the father ran to the son. And what I want to do is examine three or four things, make some application, and the lesson endures, and look at, he ran to me. The first thing I want us to understand is the wandering son. In your Bible, in the book of Luke in the 15th chapter, notice, if you will, that that young man had decided to go into the far country and live in sin. And I want you to recognize that young man had gone away from the father. He did not stay in the home and live in sin. He knew that would not be tolerated. But that young man took his inheritance and went into the far country. And now the young man is coming home. He's broke. The famine had come into the far land. He'd spent all. He had been in the pig pen. And now the young man says, I will go home to my father. And I've tried to imagine in my mind what it would have been like to have been that young son. Every step of the way home, I'm sure, is a difficult one. His mind filled with regret of what he said to his father when he went to his father and said, give me my inheritance, which is basically saying to him, I wish you were dead. And now his body's covered with filth from the pig pen. His clothes is ragged and torn. His body with the smell of the swine. And he would have been unclean. But that young man says, I will go home. He's hungry. He's sorrowful for what he done. He recognized that the land of sin did not have all that he thought it had. He recognized that he thought in the land of sin he would have all the joy and happiness of this world. And yet instead he found that the devil's lies bring up bankruptcy. And that young man said, I will go home. But I want you to recognize there was a great risk in going home. He was going home to the father's house. He was going home to the father's whose heart he had broken. He is going home to the father's whose name he had dishonored. He is going home to the father's whose fortune he had squandered. And so I'm sure in his mind is, what response will my father give? When he sees me coming home, what will he say to me? Will he tell me that I had my chance and point and say, get out of here? Will he receive me and let me just live on the premises as a servant? Just how will my father respond when I come and ask him, let me be a servant in your house? I've often thought about that tense situation. And no doubt every step of the way home was a difficult one for that young man. He is coming home filled with regret. He's coming home filled with sorrow. But now then, in your Bible, in the book of Luke, in the 15th chapter, notice the father. And notice how the father responds in verse 20. His father saw him, which shows that he was looking for him. And the father has compassion. And the father ran and fell on his neck. That means he embraced him and kissed him. And the word there in the original language, kissed him, is repetitively. He didn't just kiss him one time. He repeatedly kissed that young man. So here was a father watching for him, daily looking out on the horizon, seeing if that son would come home. And then he runs to him, embraces him, kisses him. Here is a man moved by compassion. Notice he doesn't run the opposite way of the sun, but toward the sun. And that raises a serious question. Why did the Father run? Why would he hike up the robe of that day and take off running toward his son? I can think of several reasons. One, so his son would not be humiliated. He ran so his son would not be humiliated when he came through the village. The Father gave up his dignity so the son would not have to. Could you imagine the people around the village of that day when the son came back? No doubt many would say, well, we knew here he'd come. Tail between the legs, we knew he'd come back begging the Father for another chance. And I'm sure that in that village there would have been a lot of people that would have looked with scorn on that young man. And yet the Father never allowed it. The Father ran to give up his dignity so the son who was coming home would not have to. But secondly, he ran to restore fellowship. Love hates separation. It can't stand to be parted from the one it loves. And notice the statement by the Father, "My son which was dead." That is how the separation felt to the Father. And that's how it felt in his heart. His son which was lost. That which he did not see, that which he wanted to have fellowship with, was far from him. And so when the Father saw the son, he ran to restore fellowship. He didn't like the sting of death between him and his son. And the Father runs while the son still walks. But I believe there's a third reason. I believe he ran because he realized the boy was still in danger. At any moment, the boy could go back to the far country. He could have felt unworthy. He could have felt shame and turned in desperation and said, "I'm not going to go home. I've embarrassed my father too much. I've done too much. He'll never be able to forgive me." And he could have just turned. And yet, my friend, once in the Father's embrace, it would be unlikely he would ever want to leave again. When the Father showed so much compassion and went, and there it noticed the son was unclean by Jewish standards. He'd been in the pig pen. Swine was unclean to the Jew. But the Father didn't allow that to keep him from hugging him. Notice he embraced him and he kissed him. He gave him the kiss of reconciliation. He gave him the kiss of joy. He gave him the kiss of welcome home. Have you ever thought, my friend, he wanted that son to come back? He knew that if he turned back and saw the far country, he'd be in bad shape. He didn't want him to go back to the far country where he'd left. What he wanted to do was have him come home and settle down. Chase away the old sin. Have you ever thought about what a beautiful picture it is that the son came home? What if he had died in the far country? How sad a picture that would have been. And I'll tell you, my friend, the Father didn't want to lose him again. But I want you to think about the joy it brought to the home. Have you ever thought about the joy? How sad when the boy was gone, but now that he's home, there's joy and there's music and there's dancing and they kill the fatted calf. Have you ever thought about the joy when the son came home? I want to tell you, my friend, that all that time he was gone, the father's heart was broken. But now that he's home, he said, "Kill the fatted calf. Bring the best robe," which would have been his, by the way. The father would have owned the best robe in the house. "Bring sandals for his feet." Why sandals? Servants went barefooted. Sons had shoes. He said, "You bring his shoes. Bring the ring, the signet ring that shows he is my son. And you put it on his hand. He's not coming back into my house as though he is a servant. He is my son that has come home." And what joy, except for one. Have you noticed the father's love? Oh, we talk about Father's Day. I want to tell you, here's a father who is worthy of honor. Because when he looked out at his son, he had compassion. He ran and fell and hugged him and he kissed him and he welcomed him home. But if you ever thought of the older brother, in your Bible, in the book of Luke, in the 15th chapter, notice the older brother's attitude towards the return. In Luke 15, notice, if you will, that he is out in the field. And one of the servants, he asked him, "What is meant by all this music and dancing?" And he said to him in verse 27, your brother has come, and because he's received him safe and sound, your father's killed a fatted calf. But look at verse 28. He was angry. You know what that is? Jealousy. He would not go in. It would have been the older brother's job to serve at this party, but he was not going to go in, even though his father came out and pleaded with him. Have you ever thought about he was wanting to kill the joy? And he said, I've done all these things. I've never transgressed your commandment. You've never even given me a goat that I make me merry with my friends. But this son of yours, doesn't even identify him as his brother, comes home and you kill the fatted calf. After he's devoured your livelihood, after he's lived in sin, after he's been with the harlots. But notice the father again. You want to talk about compassion. What does he call him? Son. Look at that in verse 31. Both of his sons have given him a hard time. And the father still shows compassion on both of them. One was self-righteous. The other realized his sin and came home. And both of them he has to plead with. And notice he said, son, you are always with me. And all that I have is yours. Both sons should have recognized the father's love. Not just the younger son, the older son. The one who'd stayed. The one who'd been with him. He should have seen the father's love. But instead of seeing the father's love, his mind was blinded by jealousy. I want to take that. I want to make application to our life in the lesson series. The first thing I want us to think about is fathers today. Have you ever thought about in our day and time, what we need are men who take a stand, firm love for God. That they look out and they see the Father's love, they see God's love, and then they reciprocate that to God, and then they also show it to their family. That they practice sacrificial love. You know, being a father is not an easy job. Being a father, you have to make decisions. And sometimes children don't like it, and sometimes the spouse doesn't like it. But as the spiritual leader of your home, you're trying to bring them up in the love and admonition of the Lord. And there's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of heartache in being a father, but I want to tell you there's a lot of joy. Have you ever thought of the joy of being a father? When you see your children do right, when you see them apply what you've taught them, when you see them try to accomplish that which is good and holy and right. But I'll tell you one thing you have to be as a father. You have to be forgiving. But that brings up another thing. We need to think about our Heavenly Father. Have you ever thought that God has run to us? That it was not beneath Him to run to reconcile our relationship with Him. Though we're the one that severed it. Our sin is what put a barrier between our relationship with God. And yet God was willing to allow His only begotten Son to be humiliated upon a cross so that we can have a relationship with Him. I don't know if I've ever appreciated that as much as I should. To think that God in heaven is watching for us. And you know what? We are mere dust. His creation. And we've rebelled against Him. We've gone into the far country. We've sinned against Him. We've violated His holy law. And our Heavenly Father has done everything He can to restore that relationship. And yet some people won't even walk to Him, though He's run to reconcile. Open your Bible for just a moment in the Ephesian letter in the second chapter. And when you come to the Ephesian letter in the second chapter, notice, if you will, verse 13. In verse 13, notice, or verses 12 and 13. Notice verse 12 to get the thought, then verse 13. That at that time you were without Christ, underscore without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having, underscore these words, no hope. Then underscore the next words, and without God in the world. You're without Christ, you're without God, you have no hope. But look at verse 13. But now, underscore those words, in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off. You know, that's where God was watching for us. Just as that father was looking from afar to see that son come home, God has been watching us. We were afar off, have been brought near by what? The blood of Christ. Have you ever thought of the blood of the Father? Have you ever experienced God's love? Have you ever stopped to think about the love that God has bestowed upon us? And because of that love, we can be called children of God. One of the greatest blessings you'll ever have is to be able to be said, I'm a child of God. And God has removed every barrier that would keep us from being a child. Have you ever thought of the blessing of calling God your Father? And you know what God has given us? God has given us an inheritance. And He has told us, because we're His children, we can wear the family name. Now we're Christians. We wear the robe of righteousness. We have the family signet. We belong to Him. The pledge is the Holy Spirit Himself that we are children of God. Our spirit with the Holy Spirit bears witness, Romans 8 says. As many as are led by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, they become children of God. And we can cry out, Abba, Father. Greatest blessing on earth is to be able to call God our Father. But the question is, will you come to? You may have a lot of regret. You may have a lot of things in your past. You may have a lot of things you wish you'd never done. You may think God can't forgive you. I want to tell you, my friend, all those things are the lies of the devil to keep you in the far country. And the devil will tell you, well, if you become a Christian, there's no joy. That's one of his biggest lies. There's no greater joy than to know you're a child of God. And to have peace of mind because you're at peace with God. And therefore you have the peace of God. So the question I have this morning is, will you come home to the Father? He has run to reconcile to you. Will you come home and be His child? As together we stand.